through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
All right, as a reminder, you guys, we are going to have another chance for you to enter to open the gates to T-Mobile Park and get pair tickets to opening day to see the Mariners. That chance to enter coming at 1:30. So in 30 minutes, do not call in yet. We're going to be giving you guys instructions. Don't rush. Just take it easy. Baseball's a leisurely sport. So that coming up at 1:30. Before we get to that, though, we've been doing our Seahawks free agent profiles. First, it was potential departures. Then it was potential signings. And now we actually know who the Seahawks have added. So we've been telling you all about these guys. That profile continues with Kerry Hyder.
This is Jake and Stacy's off-season profile. A look at the key free agents, potential draft picks, and extension candidates for the Hawks championship run.
Let's go!
Free agent profile.
All right, so Jake Heaps is going to help us understand a bit more about the newest Seahawk defensive end, Kerry Hyder. He's going to be turning 30 years old in May. Three-star recruit coming out of Texas. He's bounced around the league a little bit, Jake. It seems like when I'm looking at his stats, he really didn't break out until his final season, really, that one with the 49ers. And that ended up being because of injuries to some starters. Finally, Hyder got a chance, and he met the bar, exceeded the bar, I would say.
I would say so. I mean, you look at him at 6'2", 270 pounds. In 2021, this will be his seventh season in the league. Went undrafted and played for the New York Jets his rookie season, Stacey. And you talk about that inconsistency, the up and down aspect of Kerry Hyder's journey, and it has certainly been that. New York Jets, Detroit, gets limited playing time and action, doesn't generate any sacks. In 2016, this is a different story. He in his third year in the league, he isn't a starter. He's a rotational player, but generates 8 sacks and 11 tackles for loss, 19 quarterback hits. And you start to see, oh, okay, maybe this guy could be a legit rotational pass rusher. Then drops down over the next 2 seasons again. Only has 1 sack in each season in 2018-2019. He lands back in San Francisco, reunites with his former defensive line coach in Detroit, and is transitioned from defensive tackle to defensive end. At that position, after seeing Nick Bosa and seeing Solomon Thomas and seeing a lot of these other guys across the defensive line go down to injury, he gets thrusted into being a starter. He plays 80% of the snaps for the San Francisco 49ers. He starts 14 games out of the 16-game season, and he generates 8.5 sacks, 49 tackles, 10 tackles for loss, 18 quarterback hits. He was wildly active. And the reason why Seattle brings this guy in is because as you're watching the film, yet again, it's a scheme fit. It's an easy transition. You see him in the 49ers offense, or sorry, the 49ers defense, where Robert Saleh was the head was the defensive coordinator there, and he runs the same exact scheme that you do in Seattle. So you think that that transition is going to come in very nicely for you for Kerry Hyder. It'll be an easy transition. The other side of it that you see is that you really think that you have a great defensive line coach in Clint Hurt, and you think that you're going to get the most out of him, just like they were able to do down in San Francisco. And this guy is wildly active. Sideline to sideline, he plays like his hair is on fire. And you know what he plays like? He plays like an undrafted player that came into this league that's trying to make his name known. That's what I love about him. And even with him getting a 2-year deal, essentially, and another year that could be a voided year in his contract, so a 3-year deal in total, but he's going to come in trying to prove his worth and prove his value. And when you watch him on film, it is easy to see why the Seahawks are excited about him. He will come in from day one. He will be the starting five technique defensive end. He has a relentless motor. He's football smart. And when I say football smart, he recognizes situational football. He recognizes formations. He recognizes what offenses are trying to do, how they're trying to block him, and how he can combat that. He's very instinctive. And he is a Swiss Army knife, much like what Michael Bennett was, much like what they were hoping Rasheem Green would be, what they're hoping that LJ Collier can continue to develop into. But he's a guy that can play that five technique position. He can play defensive tackle. He can move around, and he is wildly disruptive in both the passing game and the running game in both positions. And so I think that this is a great signing for the Seahawks. It makes their defensive line extremely diverse. They're getting a guy who is hungry, motivated to be at his best, and when he is at his best, man, he can be extremely active and make it a very, very tough day at the office for opposing quarterbacks.
You know what I'll say, Jake? I'm taking a look at some of his advanced stats, and one of the things that's most encouraging to me is that when he got a shot, he exceeded expectations. I know that, you know, if you're a fan and you're looking at some of his earlier stats with Detroit, one thing I want to make sure you do notice is his actual snap counts, right? It's not just, oh, he was in 16 games and only had one sack or didn't have sacks. Look at the actual snap counts. For instance, in 2018, he appeared in 7 games, didn't start any of them, only 153 defensive snaps. And in 2019 with Dallas, only 439, never appearing in more than 50% of defensive snaps, with the exception of 2016 with Detroit. And even then it was 64%. In 2020 with San Francisco, he ended up obviously filling in for an injured Bosa. And San Francisco had injuries all over the board, so it's not like he had a ton of help. Yes, they were the number 2 overall defense, and I think number 1 passing defense the year prior when everyone was healthy. In 2020, when everyone got injured, it's not like he had a whole bunch of other dudes next to him. Like, they were pretty banged up, so he was playing with other guys who were also backups. He played really well. Not only that, he played in 721 defensive snaps. That is 70% of all defensive snaps. Oh, one other thing. He was also helping out on special teams. 14% of snaps on special teams, 65 overall, so still being able to help there. And you look at the kind of breakdown and the pressures and hurries that he had. His 32 pressures would have led the Seahawks last year. That's more than Jamal Adams had. I think Jamal Adams finished with 26. And that includes all those other guys then, too. Benson Mayowa, it was more than him. Carlos Dunlap, that would have been more than him. So he would have led the team in pressures. He had 18 quarterback hits alone, 10 tackles for loss. I mean, these are all things that are encouraging to see. You talk about just getting pressure and being disruptive. You don't just want to see sack totals. 8.5 sacks, that's fantastic. You also want to see pressures. You want to see hurries. You want to see quarterback knockdowns. And he had career highs in all of those categories.
And I want to see TFLs. I want to see tackles for loss. Can you be disruptive in the backfield in the running game as well? And that's exactly what he did. So you rattle off a lot of those advanced stats, Stacey, and it's extremely encouraging in a number of different ways. And, you know, hey, we all remember Hyder getting a sack on Russell Wilson here in cut number 9. Last season.
Second down and 6. Russ play fake, steps up in the pocket, being chased. He's going to go down. That play broke down. Seahawks were trying to get something going, and Russ started a little half roll to the right, and breakdown on the far side of the field allowed somebody to get in.
Yeah, that somebody, Hyder. Hyder Jr., and it happened pretty fast. I mean, that play call didn't take a whole lot of time to develop, and you saw that a lot this last year. And, you know, just because I want to hear this guy, his voice and his breakdowns, I love him so much. Let's go to cut number 7. Here's Brian Baldinger. Here's a little bit of a taste of a breakdown of what he had to say about Kerry Hyder.
He leads the 49ers, sacks, quarterback hits, and tackle for losses, playing 70% of the snaps. Down goes Jared Goff. You know, you watch him and you go, okay, what is the first thing that a defense line tells you not to do? Don't get deeper than the quarterback. He understands it. Don't get deeper than the quarterback. He's got moves, and he plays with unbelievable effort, all right? Like this right here. You know what happens when he gets to the ball? Good things happen when he gets to the ball. Dude, looking for free agent bargains right now. Kerry Hyder, I mean, just watch the way he plays the game. Plays the game the right way.
You love to hear that, right? You love to hear the energy from Brian Baldinger in terms of the excitement when he watches this guy play film, and it's the very same reaction that I have. And that's why you talk about not getting deeper than the quarterback. What does that mean? When you see pass rushers that just willingly go by, and you got an offensive tackle that's just willing to push them right on by the quarterback, it's as easy as it gets. But when you have a defensive end that is patient and is not just going to run right around and try to beat you with a speed rush, they understand that good things come if you don't get past the quarterback. And so it allows you to be active, even if you're not able to get to the quarterback initially. If the quarterback scrambles at all, then you can react and disengage with the tackle and maybe get a cheap, easy sack. And I saw Hyder Jr. do that a couple times. So this is a guy who understands the game. He understands how to get to the quarterback in a variety of different ways. And I think it'll be a very nice addition to this team. And I think that he upgrades this group. He makes them better. And as I said, you do have Rasheem Green. You do have LJ Collier, who are guys that were slated to be very similar to this player. But Hyder Jr. at this stage is a better player, and I think he'll be very productive in this system.
It's also someone who can help you with another really big investment you've already made, and that's LJ Collier. They're both going to be in there at that five tech spot. You predicted, and I think rightfully so, Jake, that Hyder would be in there as your starting five tech.
No question.
But you know who can learn behind him? LJ Collier. And yes. I know that initially on its face, it feels like taking snaps away from Collier. And in a way it is, but it also makes sure that he can be part of a rotation that's an effective rotation. And it doesn't always mean that it's one or the other.
That's the one thing that really annoys me that I've heard lately. Well, is it going to take snaps away from Rasheem Green, LJ Collier? I don't care. I care about the best guy being on the field, the guy that can generate the most productivity. And if that's Hyder Jr., if that's LJ Collier, that's Rasheem Green, then they'll get on the field. I'm not worried about that. That'll work itself out. And the truth is that Hyder Jr., I think, is at this stage going to be a better option for you than the other guys, and they'll have to work their way into it. But the thing that you want on a defensive line, you don't want Hyder Jr. playing even, you know, 80% of the snaps. He played 70%, but I want there to be a healthy rotation. I want him to play 70 to 60% of the snaps. I want there to be a rotation where you can bring these guys in and out and keep them fresh and healthy, and guys like LJ Collier, Rasheem Green can step in and be very productive and active when they get in. That's what I want, and that's what great defensive lines have. You can never have too many good bodies on a defensive line, Stacey. And that's why I believe that the Seahawks are not done yet. They are not done on this defensive line addressing this position. I hope they're not done addressing this position. I still think that there's opportunities to get a player like Carlos Dunlap in the fold here, which would really round this group out and really make it, in my opinion, special.
Let's continue the profile by quickly looking at the finances. I gotta say, Jake, I mean, I think this is happening for a lot of teams. Certainly Saints reporters probably feel this way. You're watching the team make moves, and you're getting that anxiety that you get when you go to pay with, you know, you remember being in college or recently, and you try to pay with a card and you just get a little nervous. You're thinking, is this going to clear? That's how I'm starting to feel about the Seahawks. I mean, they're making these signings, and I just keep thinking like, ooh, is this one going to go through? No, they don't have to make sure they have it all in line yet. I mean, the Saints have been over the cap since basically the start of the offseason. But they are going to have to figure it all out. So, can they bring back Carlos Dunlap? Because you seem pretty adamant that like they could certainly still use some more veteran talent. I don't know that it's veteran talent I want to see. I want to see development from guys that will be here long term. But I also agree with you that getting Carlos Dunlap here would certainly make fans, including myself, feel a lot better about the pass rush.
It would, and I still think that you can see that. I think you can see that from a guy like Daryl Taylor. LJ Collier is the one guy that can continue to keep progressing. I think Rasheem Green, I think we know what Rasheem Green is going to be in terms of his career at this stage in time. You know, he's entering his fourth year of his career. Maybe he can have an uptick in his production, but I feel like we've got a pretty good beat on who Rasheem Green is. But overall, like I said before, you can't have enough good depth. And, you know, Carlos Dunlap, I can't imagine, is going to sign a multi-year deal. It's going to be probably a one-year deal. And you can allow Daryl Taylor to come into the fold without a ton of pressure. You can allow Benson Mayoa to play the role that he's really good at, and that's being a situational pass rusher rather than being a frontline starter. So with that being said, I still think that Dunlap or a player like him is going to be needed to really round this group out and to truly make it a group that has tremendous depth and will be highly, highly effective from day one. That's the whole goal here and the key to, in my opinion, the 2021 season with everything else that they have done thus far in free agency.
All right, that is our Seahawks free agent profile. This one detailing the newest Seattle Seahawk, that is defensive end Kerry Hyder. It's 1:15. That means it's time for NFL headlines. Man, a story that keeps getting weirder and kind of more depressing is that of former Tennessee Titans offensive lineman Isaiah Wilson. So this is not a new arrest. It is an incident that is just new information. It actually happened in January 7th. So here's the story. This from ESPN. Isaiah Wilson was arrested and charged with multiple offenses after a offenses after a high-speed car chase in Georgia on January 7th. So basically, he was speeding, but like really speeding. He passed a sheriff's or a deputy car. They registered a speed of his car at 123 miles per hour on radar. So the officer obviously flips on the siren, starts chasing him. The chase is called off because they started reaching speeds of 140 miles per hour. So the police officer stopped. And then it's unclear exactly how this happened, but at some later point, Isaiah Wilson's car is now crashed, and another officer who had witnessed the wreck then approaches him. So he was asked, Isaiah Wilson, why he decided to flee, and he said that he has had bad interactions before, bad experiences with law enforcement, so he was afraid he would go to jail. He also said there wasn't anything illegal in the vehicle. It's not great. I'm going to say
this is just a story that continues to get sadder and sadder and sadder. Like that, Isaiah Wilson is going through a lot in his life, and it's bigger than football. And clearly, he's in a position where mentally he's not able to deal and handle the rigors of the professional sport that is the NFL, and he needs to get help. And I hope that there's people around him, loved ones, mentors, coaches. I don't know who it would be, but people that are that have influence in his life that could be a positive influence and get him the help that he needs to really settle things down. And I'm praying for Wilson that he can get that done, because right now obviously you're seeing him go down a path that's scary, that's troublesome.
This also from the ESPN article says that the Dolphins had some knowledge of that arrest, that speeding arrest, but they didn't know the full details of everything. So it's just, again, it's one of those things where you keep seeing someone kind of put themselves in a situation and you're like, man, I want the best to happen for you, but you're setting yourself up here. Mm-hmm. Moving on, the Bucs and Ndamukong Suh have agreed to a one-year deal. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers retaining a lot of their own guys, by
the way. Pretty much everybody.
I am still expecting them to be able to retain Antonio Brown, among others. He remains a free agent, one of the free agents you profiled. I'm going to get to the wide receiver that has signed elsewhere in a second. But Antonio Brown, not that guy. He's still available. I'm just expecting him to return to Tampa Bay. It's one of the best things they've been able to do.
It wouldn't surprise me. But he's not going to be, you know, someone else out there said, you know, T.Y. Hilton, you know, Antonio Brown's looking at that contract and thinking he made himself some money. No, he didn't. Antonio Brown is in a very difficult position where he has literally no leverage. There's only a couple teams in the league that would even consider possibly taking him on the roster, which is Tampa Bay, maybe Seattle, and then the Baltimore Ravens were rumored to be interested in him last season. You know, he doesn't have a whole lot of staying power here within the league. So he's going to be relatively cheap on somebody's roster. And I agree with you. It's most likely going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But we'll wait and see. And I don't think that the Seahawks or Tampa are going to feel like they're in any real reason to feel like there is urgency to try and get him signed right away. I think they're going to take their time to evaluate what's going on with him and going on with the market.
Now, one of the receivers you did have your eye on as a stretch for the Seahawks to sign, but at least at some kind of possibility, was wide receiver T.Y. Hilton. He, however, is returning to the Indianapolis Colts. This broke in earlier today, just earlier this afternoon, by ESPN's Adam Schefter. T.Y. Hilton returning to Indy on a one-year deal worth $10 million, including $8 million guaranteed. And of course, the three of us, you, me, and Curtis, immediately after this happened, asked ourselves, would you have paid that much if you're the Seahawks for T.Y. Hilton? And you said?
Heck no.
Okay.
You're not paying that money for T.Y. Hilton at this stage in time. It's too much. And honestly, that would be a contract that would put you out of contention for a guy like Carlos Dunlap at this stage. And you wonder, what is the roster move that the Seahawks are eventually going to need to make? Because where's this money coming from? Where's the money coming from to be able to sign Benson Mayoa and Kerry Hyder Jr., after they had gotten Chris Carson, Gabe Jackson, Gerald Everett. So I would imagine that you're going to have to see an extension, a restructuring of a contract at some point in time for them to continue to still add to the roster in which they need. I mean, you got to remember, they also need to sign their rookie class this season as well, and that's something you got to take into account for the cap. So going to be very curious to see what ends up happening here in the next couple weeks.
Very quick bit of non-NFL news. Mariners insider Shannon Dreyer says that the Mariners have announced opening night on Thursday, April 1st, is sold out, and there are tickets remaining for the remaining 10 games in the first two homestands. As a reminder, I think they're only selling 11 days out, which means, Curtis, that the only place to get tickets now is
right here.
Right here on 710 ESPN Seattle. We're going to have another chance for you to enter to win that pair of tickets
last
in about 10 minutes.
Two tickets that you could possibly get for opening day.
At face value.
At face value.
Is being offered here on 710 ESPN.
That's exactly right. One final story here. Jacksonville has signed C.J. Beathard to be their backup quarterback, which means, potentially, that Gardner Minshew, go Cougs, is available via trade. Do you want to see him in Seattle? Because Geno Smith, he is
That's going to be floated out there.
Yeah, it is.
Across
floating
the
out
NFL.
There right now.
Not necessarily for the Seahawks, but I think for somebody out there who's in a position at quarterback where you're not fully sold on the situation at hand, right? And you would love to have somebody like Gardner Minshew, who has played legit games and has been successful in the league. So I think that Gardner Minshew is going to have a trade market out there for him. You know, maybe a sixth or seventh round pick for somebody like Gardner Minshew, but I would expect to see him traded at some point in time during the draft or just before the draft. And, you know, there's also been other, you know, funny memes and comments that Minshew would be a potential candidate to get traded to the Patriots, but I don't see that happening when you just paid Cam Newton $15 million.
Now, NFL.com, Nick Shook of Around the NFL has his list of potential landing spots for free agents. None of the top free agents he has projected to be landing with the Seattle Seahawks. Of course, that doesn't mean it's guaranteed. For instance, he had T.Y. Hilton landing with the Panthers. As we know, he just signed a one-year deal worth $10 million with the Colts. For Jadeveon Clowney, a guy that your girl and Curtis Rogers have both said, let's go Clowney Watch 2.0, he has him potentially landing with the Miami Dolphins. Jake, would this make you sad?
No, it wouldn't make
Are
me
you
sad.
Sure?
No, I'm really okay. Over the whole Clowney Watch
sure,
situation.
Jake.
Would I love to have him
you
on the
say
team?
That.
You
would
say
I love
that.
To have him on the team? Yeah, I would. I think it would be awesome to have a game wrecker, a guy that can just create havoc across your defensive line. It'd be great to have somebody like Clowney, but I would much, much rather have Carlos Dunlap. Give me Carlos Dunlap, please.
All
please.
Right. That is NFL headlines. Coming up next, Richard Sherman is reportedly open to a Seattle reunion. Let's see if that's in the works. That from Tom Pelissero. We'll play that sound for you. And plus, we have your shot to enter for a chance to win opening day tickets and open the gates to welcome Mariners fans back into T-Mobile Park on opening day. That's all coming up next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
It is 30 past the hour, which means it's time for us to open the gates on our phone lines and qualify another listener. Call 206-421-3776 or 866-979-3776 in 1 minute if you're listening on a radio, or in 30 seconds if you're listening on the stream. We'll take caller number. Jake, you got to say number.
Caller number.
Five. Caller number five, who will be entered to win the grand prize of two tickets to opening day and the right to open the gates to welcome fans back to T-Mobile Park. Your next chance to win comes in 1 hour at 2:30 with Wyman and Bob. Once again, that number, 206-421-3776 or 866-979-3776. Caller number five right now. All right, Richard Sherman, reportedly, according to Tom Pelissero, open to a reunion in Seattle. Cut one. Here's what Tom said.
Listen, here's what I can tell you. Richard Sherman is open to returning to Seattle.
Right.
I believe the Seahawks would also be open to having Sherman back. This is not like Earl Thomas, where it was really acrimonious at the end. These are two sides that just came tied, right? Sherman wanted to go do something else. He goes to San Francisco, has a really good 2019 season. Last year had some injury issues, but healthy, wants to play. The issue is going to be the money.
Okay.
Now, he was also There was a separate tweet going around on like what would be the, on a 1 to 10, kind of the craziness scale. That wasn't the verbiage they used, but he said a 5. And then he said, because it could happen, I think it would be like a 9. Like, how is this not a 9.5?
Right.
This is insane. It would be crazy,
it
pants.
It would be a crazy, crazy addition to the team. And not because it wouldn't be good for the team. It would just be crazy with all the history that it was there with Sherm and the way things ended and the departure and the last, I would say, probably two years ended up going with Sherm in Seattle. It was just, you know, starting to slowly boil. But I think if Sherman is coming back to Seattle, it should be exciting to Seahawks fans because there's been an evaluation process of looking at it and saying, look, you know, all the things that we had issues with or we had beef with in the past, we're willing to put those behind us and move forward and be focused on what's happening in front of us. And I think that there's also a point in time for Sherm as well where you're in the final couple years of your career. And he stated himself this offseason that this place that he goes to next is the place that he would like to finish his career. So I don't think you're going to see a one-year deal with Sherm in this particular situation. It would be to finish out his career over the next couple seasons, if indeed that was the case. So the other aspect of this is obviously the situations of rumored beef between not just Pete Carroll, but also Russell Wilson. And can you get on the same page together and put a lot of that aside? And can Sherm come in and be the ultimate mentor, the ultimate leader on the defensive side of the ball with Bobby Wagner and that group and truly be able to mentor a lot of those guys in the DB room? I there's a lot of reasons why I would like it. I just have a hard time ultimately seeing it happen because I'm not entirely sure if those feelings are completely gone or if they're, you know, a thing of the past.
Now, you mentioned that if you had to choose one at the expense of the other, Richard Sherman or Carlos Dunlap, you would want to see Carlos Dunlap back in here, which I completely understand that sentiment. I am a little nervous, though, still, Jake, about the cornerback position they have. And I think with Richard Sherman, you're not bringing in 26-year-old Richard Sherman or 24-year-old Richard Sherman. You're not bringing in someone who can be like a lockdown corner starter for you. I mean, Sherman's still going to be fantastic, but the difference is he's 32. He's going to be just a step slower, probably. I mean, mm-hmm. But the one thing that you can say with him, you just said it, Danny O'Neill said it this morning, is that he's always been a fantastic teammate. So if you are looking for growth from guys like DJ Reed, Trey Flowers, obviously Quentin Dunbar, should you bring him back, and then Akello Witherspoon, who clearly knows Richard Sherman already, the two having been former teammates with San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
That's like the ideal fit. I think I might lean towards Sherman.
Yeah, it would be an ideal fit. I mean, that's what, for a lot of reasons, this would be extremely positive. Now, the other side of it is, back in 2017, 2018, you made the decision to move forward with Bobby Wagner and Russell Wilson and kind of change the vibe of the locker room a little bit. You've got Jamal Adams in there now, Quandre Diggs, and I think with Richard Sherman, he would be welcome with open arms, no question, within that locker room and to the organization, and I would be pumped about it. I'm just going to be very curious how that develops over the course of the year, and if you could get Richard Sherman, the guy that was the personality that was with the San Francisco 49ers over the past two seasons, sign me up for that. I'm there all day, every day for that. And I would assume that if he was coming back to Seattle, it would be to play that type of role. He is not the same player, as you mentioned, physically.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he needs to be. I think that as long as he doesn't get beat deep over the top and he's able to keep things in front of him and from time to time he's able to make a play on the ball, I think Richard Sherman fits this defense. This is what this defense was made for. It was tailor-made for Richard Sherman, and he's going to help everybody else play it to a higher standard. One of the things that I loved about Richard Sherman in regards to a teammate is that when you walked into the room and Richard Sherman was there, you knew you had to be on your A game.
Didn't you work out with you? I remember you telling a story.
Work out with Sherm, you know, and I think with Sherm, he's a guy that you could ask questions to, and he'd be great in responding and giving you insightful answers and all that. But you know, one of the other things that I loved about him was how fierce of a competitor he is in practice, in the meeting rooms, and holding everybody to that same standard. And so I think that part of it would be really good for this defense after going through the year that they had. They feel like they're getting back on track. But what did they have to do, Stacey, in order for them to do that? They had to do these accountability meetings, right? These meetings of trying to figure out exactly whose assignment is who. And I don't think you get down that road when you have a guy like Sherman in the locker room. I think he helps with a lot of those things, especially on the back end, in the secondary and in coverage. He's almost like another coach out on the field. So for that reason, it would be positive. But I just don't think realistically that this is going to be something that ends up getting done, because I think Sherman is going to be able to get a contract when it's all said and done that will just be a little bit outside the Seahawks' price point. And as I said before, if this comes down to Richard Sherman or Carlos Dunlap, it's no offense to Sherm, but I'm going to take Carlos Dunlap. I want that defensive pass rush to be one of the league's best. And I think when you add Dunlap to the picture, you have a group that can really, really get after the quarterback. And that's what I want to see.
See, I want to take Sherm because I love Sherm and have an unhealthy addiction to being a devil's advocate. All right. We are bringing on our winner for this hour. He has entered for a chance to win these tickets and open the gates. It's Greg in Tacoma joining us now for just a quick second. Greg, first of all, congratulations. Best of luck for you in this contest. Tell us why you deserve to win.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I'm a huge fan. I got the Mariners tattooed on me, season Ooh. Ticket holder. Yeah, I would love to go. I listen to you guys all day, every day at work. I think this would be fantastic. I have tickets to opening day already, but when I was waiting at noon to log on, but the crash or the site crashed because it was overloaded, so I didn't get the behind-the-plate tickets I was looking for. Mm. But yeah, I would absolutely love to open the gates.
Oh, man, yeah, opening the gates would be fantastic. Well,
a true diehard, Greg. He's got the logo tattooed on him. If that's not diehard,
now, Greg,
I don't know what is.
Tell me you didn't get, like, the World Series champs, you know, like 2001 or any, like, right? Like you didn't?
No,
okay.
It's just, yeah.
Woo! All right. Well, thank you, Greg. Good luck, man. Thanks for calling in.
I appreciate you. Thanks, guys.
All right. What I need to know is next, you send any question you have, 710-710 Busy Hard Seltzer. We'll answer them next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
710-710, that is the number to which you're texting your question. Any question you have, you can send in a few. I'm not going to limit it to one. That's the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. It's what I need to know, answering your questions right now. You know what? I don't quite get this one, but it's can you swing dance? No. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. I missed the swing dance class.
Yeah.
Really wasn't a thing when we were growing up.
Yeah, we weren't.
Was there a swing club
Maybe we should
know how to do that. Are we letting people down?
No,
we're not being our best selves.
Stacey, when in your life have you ever needed to swing dance?
Do you guys have a favorite sub shop? I'm going to be like a total sellout for the man right now. And I'm going to say I like Subway.
Yeah,
I love Subway.
I'm sorry, but Subway's king.
Yeah.
Dude. They're the king of
whatever sub company wants to like cut the check, I'll support. I'm a Jersey Mike's guy.
Jersey Mike's?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I Italian urban cheese, I'm a sucker for it every time.
Now, have you guys ever gone with anyone who ordered a sub that you thought was disgusting? Like, say they're
can
I get extra mayo, mustard, aioli, and then a slice of cheese?
Anytime I've walked into Subway with pretty much anybody else, I just think how much of a monster they are for the things they put on their sub.
Do you order the same sub every time, or do you change it up?
I order the same one every time.
You would.
Yeah, I do. I do too. I do too.
Oh, Christian 206 says Potbelly. You guys, I used to work across the street from a Potbelly. Yes, they are really good, and their milkshakes are fantastic. I like this person. They said, how are you guys? I feel like no one ever asks you that, but I need to know. How are you?
Well, that is so nice of you.
Nice.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, fantastic. Getting to come on the air and hang out with you guys every day. Always a good day.
The 505, shortening what I need to know to WINTN. That's much better. WINTN. You can only watch one sport for the rest of your life. which do you choose? One sport forever. And you know what? I'll allow anything within this sport. So you can watch at all levels. Okay. You can watch...
Football.
Football?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm watching football.
That checks out.
Football at all levels? Man, it's at the youth level, high school,
but that means
college,
you can never
NFL.
Watch a World Series. You could never watch the Stanley Cup Finals.
Can't watch March Madness.
You can't watch March Madness. You have to eliminate all of that stuff.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay with that. Yeah. I'm all right. I'll do without that.
You know what? I'm making fun of Jake, but I think I would choose that too. Curtis.
I'll take baseball.
How about this?
Really?
Yeah, really.
What if you could only watch...
So you would like to just go... You could go to some youth game and that would thrill you.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah,
I used to umpire
Curtis.
Youth baseball. I used to umpire youth, middle school, high school baseball. So, I used to do it all.
Serious question here that needs answering. What kind of umpire were you, Curtis?
What kind of umpire? I was a good one, actually.
Did you run the show or were you the friendly umpire?
I was the friendly umpire. I was the umpire that everybody got along with. Never had to eject somebody. Did warn a couple of benches.
I would love to see Curtis
get into a fight with a parent.
Never
at a
had to eject
game.
Anybody. Did have to tell a coach to calm down.
Oh man!
Like hey, pal.
How did you deliver the strikes and balls?
Strikes and balls. Let's see here. You want me to give me?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what I want.
One of those. And ball is just ball.
You guys, someone corrected me that what I need to know.
You didn't. You did not.
I did give it a good, like, hi!
Yes!
Something like that.
If I was doing that, that's all I would be good for. I probably would get the calls wrong. The show would probably be a disaster. There'd be coaches getting all over each other, parents probably too involved. I would not be able to de-escalate the situation, but balls and strikes, I would be all over that.
You would like being an umpire because it comes with a lot of accessories.
Oh!
You've got your clicker to keep count of balls and strikes.
Love that.
They give you a brush to wipe bases down with.
I dig that.
You've got a saddle bag to keep balls in.
Okay.
Like it comes. You got your mask.
Yep.
Chest protectors, shin guards.
Yeah. Like, and I get to be the final say. I get to be the boss.
Exactly. That's what you live for.
You guys,
you'd
someone
be a good umpire.
Called me out for this. So I said, someone abbreviated what I need to know, WINTN, and multiple people have been like, Stacey, don't you mean WINTK? Because it's not no as
need
in yes
now.
Or no. What I need to now. Someone said, as a high schooler, I was reffing soccer, gave my younger sister a yellow card, and got chewed out by my dad.
Wow.
Whoa.
Hey, that sounds
like out of line.
Yikes.
Yeah. You got to restore order.
Right. That's right. That sounds like some family drama that I don't want to be a part of.
WINTK. What I need to know. What's the best TV show of all time?
I mean,
is it Survivor?
That's like impossible to pick, but my favorite show of all time is Survivor. Is it the best, though? Probably
to
not,
you,
but
to
me,
you it can be. I would have said Game of Thrones, but the final season, I won't spoil anything. I'm just going to say that I was also one of the people who wish it would have ended a season early. Mm. And I am heartbroken because of that.
Man, this is too hard. Honestly. And
so
I don't,
you've got
I don't
like
want,
Breaking Bad.
I don't want to take the cop out here, but like there are so many good TV shows out there over the years.
I'll give you three. Three of the best shows you've ever seen. Randomly. No particular order.
Breaking Bad was pretty good. Big fan of 24, as you guys know.
Oh my God, you talk about 24 all the time.
I mean, it was a great TV show.
24 might be your answer. I'm going to make your answer 24.
Okay, fine.
You guys, Jake mentions 24 in frequent conversations.
The one thing that I'm really sad about is that Friends isn't on Netflix anymore because it is the ultimate, like, best show to go to bed to.
Yes.
Have a good laugh, unwind.
Is it on
go to sleep?
Is it on
HBO
Hulu or
Max.
Peacock? Oh, it's on HBO Max.
Yeah, I'm not paying for that. And then someone else tweeted at me for having that opinion. They're like, it's on TBS for 5 hours a day. Well, guess what? I'm not watching TBS. And I'm probably not watching it for when it's on those 5 hours a day. I'm sorry. I'd like to have the ability to watch at my own time, on my own dime. Okay?
I just started watching Search Party on HBO Max, though. There's some good stuff on there. Also, did you guys join me and listeners in the effort to start the racing drive to survive or whatever it is, F1 series?
I have not, but I've heard good things about it.
All right, that was our show plan.
Did you start it?
I did. I'm like 30 minutes in.
Okay, literally
just started it. Someone said,
is it good? Is it worth
it? It's good.
Okay.
Yeah. Someone said, Stacey, if I win the Mariners tickets, I will give them to you so that you can bring Brian.
Aw.
Wow, that is so incredibly nice.
You don't have to do that because he's busy. I don't want to take them from you. Like, that's
just so
crazy.
You know,
baseball guy,
Texters, you can make really nice gestures like that, but he's never around.
He's busy, not really. Jake, he has a job.
The amount of times Jake and I have tried to get Brian to come out with us, just a bros night.
He's an astronaut. He can't just like pop in for a quick stop.
That's true.
He's got a real job because he's a real person. I keep telling you this. Someone said, my question is, would Jake survive on Naked and Afraid? Do you think you would survive on any survival show of any kind?
No.
That includes that. That includes Alone. Survivor.
Alone, to me, is the best one of them all. Like, Naked and Afraid and all the other Survivor
shows. Good.
Alone, that thing's legit. That show's legit. Brooke and I have watched that. We
Alone's good.
We binge watched that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's intense.
It's really good.
There's no way. None of us would be lasting more than a couple days.
All right, congratulations to the callers we had in our show today for the Open the Gates giveaway. You're officially entered. The contest continues, though, with Wyman and Bob. So you guys keep listening. New opportunities with instructions to enter coming at the bottom of every hour. So do not go anywhere. This has been Jake and Stacey. Wyman and Bob is next on 710 ESPN Seattle.